all what I just referred is to talk about yesterday, looking at teaching, encouragement, giving, administration, and so on. So each of us have at least one gift that is given to us. And God not only gives us the privilege to serve, but also equips us for service. Then we learn that these are spiritual gifts. They are given by God's grace. That means it is not on our own merit, neither is it because we deserve these gifts. God simply gives it to us. And also, being a gift, we cannot ask for it. It is given to us by the Lord. He decides what sort of gift to give us and also the number of gifts to give us. Then we learn about having all these gifts, how we can actually use it to serve one another, the way to serve one another. And then you learn about the concept of being a good steward. A good steward is one who manages whatever the master has entrusted him very well. And in our case, we are given all these gifts. They are entrusted to us. After discovering these gifts, we need to develop it and then use it to serve others. We need to fully utilize these gifts. And apart from that also, when we use these gifts, we do to the best according to the ability that God has given us. And finally, what is the purpose of all these gifts? We learn that besides using these gifts to edify one another, to build up one another in the faith, it is to glorify God, and it is not for self-glory. Purpose of all these gifts is to promote Christ and to promote the gospel. So that was where we ended yesterday's message. Today we will look at another topic, relating to others by bearing one another's burdens. Now this is another action for us to do in loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now what does it mean for us to bear one another's burdens? Let me give you a simple illustration from nature. You all know about migratory birds. These migratory birds, right, they migrate by flying very long distances, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles. And the reason they do that is to escape extreme weather conditions. Sometimes it could be due to harsh winters. Sometimes they are looking for new food sources. Now some of these migratory birds, for example like the Canadian geese, they fly in a V-shaped formation. If you look up in the sky, it's like a V. Okay? So in this V-shaped formation, you will have one bird which is known as the lead bird. This bird flies right in front of the formation. But after flying some distance, you notice that this bird will actually go behind the formation. Now, what is the reason for this? There is a particular reason for this. After it flies behind, another bird will take over in the lead position. Now, the position for the lead bird, who is right at the front, he has to work the hardest because he has to flap the wings the hardest because there is a lot of wind resistance being right in front. But the interesting thing is that when he flaps his wings, it creates a current of air, and this gives lift to the bird that is flying behind. So this uplifting current, as it passes down the line of birds, it becomes increased. So much so that the last bird uses a very little energy to fly. So in taking turns to become the lead bird, it is like they are helping one another bear the burden of flying these long distances. If they were to fly on their own, it would not be possible for them. So hope through this simple illustration you get the idea of what it means to bear one another's burdens. The text for our consideration is taken from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. But if you were to look in the preceding chapter, in chapter 5, this lead will lead to chapter 6. Chapter 5, the Apostle Paul had written to the Galatian Christians to urge them to live the Christian life. This is after they have been saved, after they have been freed from sin, they have been freed from the bondage of law. Some of them were under the bondage of law. They observe all these rituals, thinking that they actually, through this, they can actually gain salvation. But they have been saved by Christ. So after that, having been saved by Christ, they have this freedom. So he explains in this freedom that's given to them. is not for the purpose to them for them to live licentiously. Licentiously means a person who lives anyhow, okay, and without any moral restraints, and that will lead him to sin. So instead, they are supposed to use this freedom that God has given them to love, to serve one another in love. So that was the intention of that. And in chapter 5, you'll find this verse, verse 14. And there, the Apostle Paul will remind them of the law of Christian love. And that is, love thy neighbor as thyself. And that is exactly the theme verse of our camp, which we have actually discussed about in our first message. Following that, in the rest of chapter 5, then, Paul talked about walking in the Spirit. That means he told them, after they have this freedom, they have to walk in the Spirit. Means to walk in the Spirit means to live life in submission to the Holy Spirit. And this is so that they can produce the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And with that, they are also not to walk according to the flesh. That means live lives according to their fleshly desires, because this will again lead to sin, and it will go against God's laws. So then in chapter 6, in these verses which we are considering today, he will instruct the Galatian Christians to bear one another's burdens. And here we will learn three important things about bearing one another's burdens. First, it is a command for us to bear. Second, what is the purpose of bearing this one another's burdens? And the third thing we'll learn is how, the way to bear one another's burdens. So beginning with the command to bear one another's burdens. For this, we need to go ahead to verse 2 directly. So verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. Now this word bear is given in the form of a command. It is given in the imperative, means it's a command. It is not something for us to choose. It is not an option whether we want to follow or not. We must follow this command. So we are all, as believers, obligated to obey this command, bear one another's burdens. Now, the word bear means to take up, as in lifting weights. So some of you go to gym, you all know, okay, about lifting weights, right? So that is the meaning of the word bear. So here you are to bear one another's burdens. Now, the word burden also, you know the New Testament is written in Greek, so there are actually many words for the word burden. And here, this word burden in verse 2 tells us of a very heavy burden. And it gives an idea of, let's say you have a ship which is a cargo ship. It is loaded with cargo and it becomes so overloaded that it's at the point of sinking. So it means it's a very, very heavy burden. But here it refers to a person who has a burden that is so heavy, he cannot bear it himself. He needs someone else to come along to help him shoulder this burden. And what are these burdens that are so heavy that we cannot bear ourselves, but we need someone to come along to help us shoulder this? And these burdens have to do with things like spiritual needs, things like emotional needs, and also things even like physical needs. For example, for spiritual needs, there may be a fellow believer, a brother or sister in Christ, he has fallen into sin, and he feels a lot of guilt within himself. He feels very ashamed of himself. How do you help to restore such a brother or sister? It can also be emotional, connected to emotional need. For example, you may have a fellow teen, his parents passed away, his parents gone home to be with the Lord. He may feel like very distressed, he may feel very sorrowful, in grief. How do you help such a person? Then it can also be connected with physical needs sometimes. Maybe a father of a teen has lost his job, then they have no other means of living. So how do you help such a person? Or it can also be a person who is in illness. How do we help? How do we comfort such a person? So these are the burdens that is spoken of in verse 2 here. And later on we'll find that in verses 1, 3, 4, and 5, the rest of the verses, the Apostle Paul will tell of a burden concerning a this of a spiritual need of a believer. And then he will show us the way in which we can actually help this person. So, bear ye one another's burden is a command that is given by the Lord. That means it's an obligation. All of us, as believers, we ought to bear one another's burdens. And what is the purpose of all this bearing one another's burden? It's also given by verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That means the purpose of bearing these burdens of others is to fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what is this law of Christ? Actually, it is the same parenting verse, Galatians 5:14, which means, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, love thy neighbor as thyself. So, the purpose of all this, you see the connection here now. Bear ye one another's burdens is for the purpose of fulfilling the law of Christ, and the law of Christ actually means love your neighbor as yourself. And this applies to all the other one another verses which you have dealt with. Esteem one another better than self. You also have encourage one another, serve one another, pray for one another, and also today bear ye one another's burden. So see the connection here. Christ has shown us his love, okay, by dying on the cross for us. And he expects us to show this love towards others. And this is the way we show this, our love towards others, by the actions that are actually displayed in these one another verses. So the purpose, remember that, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, how do we bear one another's burdens? Verses 1, 3, 4, and 5 will give us some idea how we can actually bear one another's burdens. Now, here in verse 1, Paul will describe a situation of a brother who is in a spiritual need, who is having this burden that is connected with a spiritual need. And he will show us how we can help this brother. So he says in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. So this is the situation of a person who had yielded to temptation, who had fallen into sin. And notice the word here, he says he's overtaken in a fault. The word overtaken literally means that he's taken by surprise. That means he's not a person who sins habitually, but just at this time, a temptation came, and then he yielded, and then he fell into this sin. In other words, he inadvertently fell into sin. So, who is supposed to help this brother? You notice the next one, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That means a person who is spiritual, who is more spiritually mature, who is walking in the Spirit, that means who is obeying the Holy Spirit and also showing fruits of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, he is to help this weaker brother in Christ. And here we find that he is supposed to restore such a one. Now, restore is a very special word here. This word actually means mending, repairing, torn nets, you know, those fishing nets. And it's the same word used in the Gospels when the disciples actually mended their nets. This word also has the idea of setting broken bones or fractured bones. When you actually set bones, you have to treat it gently and very carefully, handle with gentleness and care. I'm sure some of you have fallen before. You have broken bones, fractured bones. When you go to the doctor, when the doctor handles all these bones, when fractured bones, he will handle it very carefully with gentleness and care. He'll put it in a cast, okay, so that you will heal completely. So what I'm saying here is that what does it actually tell us here is that when we actually restore such a person also, when we counsel, when we speak to the person, we have to do it with gentleness and care. Care for the person. Explain to the person what he has done is wrong, that is against God's commandments. Then get him to see that he's actually has done wrong. And after that, cause him to repent, to seek God's forgiveness. And the whole idea is to get him to go back to the path of righteousness. But here also in verse 1, Apostle Paul further says how to restore. Restore such a one also in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That means when you restore such a person, it must be with a spirit of humility. The spiritually mature person must be humble when he actually treats or counsels the weaker brother who has sinned. The reason is that, lest thou also be tempted. Remember, we are all in the flesh. Even spiritually mature, if they are not very careful, they can also fall to temptation, they can also fall into sin. In other words, we are not to look down on others when we actually help. We are actually helping them to bear their burden. So verse 3, the Apostle Paul follows up. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So here Paul is even saying further, he warns those who are spiritually mature against pride. Pride, why? Because they were looking down, they were comparing themselves with the brother who has fallen and looking down upon the brother. So he says here, for if a man think himself to be something, when you try to compare yourselves with the brother who has fallen, and then you think yourself to be something, you think yourself to be morally superior. You know that you cannot sin, you obey God so well. Then Paul here says, when he is nothing. When he thinks he is something, he's actually nothing. Nothing because he's no different from any other believer. He is also in the flesh. That means he can, if temptation comes his way, if he's not careful, he can also fall. And if he were to think this way, think that he's something when he's nothing, he's actually deceiving himself. Because such a person with so much arrogance and pride inside, he himself will be liable to falling into temptation. Now, we know that there are many parts of the Bible which teach us the warns us against pride. For example, in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So remember, those who have a lot of pride, they are the ones who will be susceptible to falling, yielding to temptation and then falling into sin. So there is no basis for us to have self-glory. Because we remember, salvation comes from the Lord. We are saved to the Lord. And he also enables us to obey him each day. So when we actually go about this, when we actually go about counseling and also helping the brother, we also have to bear in mind, okay, that we are not to be morally superior to this brother. Okay, we are not to think ourselves so highly, okay, look down on the brother. So in verse 4, Paul further says to the Galatian Christians, especially to the ones who are very proud, he says, let every man prove his own work, then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So he says that he warns them against comparing themselves with the weaker brother. He says, instead of comparing, let every man prove his own work. That means, instead of comparing your brother, compare your standard, your life, compared against God's standards, against God's laws. So if you were to compare and do this fair evaluation, and then you find that it meets up to God's expectations, only then is it reason for you to rejoice. And here, the word rejoice actually tells us, it actually means boasting. But it's not boasting here in the arrogant form, like loudly boasting. But notice here, it says rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That means the rejoicing here must be to rejoice quietly within himself, knowing that his work, whatever he has done, his conduct, has enabled by the Holy Spirit, it has actually glorified God and it actually pleases God. So one has to remember this when actually we are actually, one actually has to remember this when we are actually treating a brother, helping a brother bear his burden. So there is no basis for us to have self-glory. The Apostle Paul himself actually showed this example of humility. He himself humbled himself before God on many occasions. So when So how do we actually help a brother bear another's burdens? How the way for us to bear another's burdens, when we actually help the brother, we have to be humble and gentle in our approach. So we are not to be feel that we are morally superior, look down upon the brother. If we were to do that, it will be no different from the Pharisee that's described by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18. Because in Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus described a Pharisee who was about to pray. So when he was about to pray, he saw a tax collector nearby. And then after that, he prayed the prayer to thank God that he was not like the tax collector who was full of sins. So he is one who feels very self-righteous. Sometimes this also happens to ourselves. Okay, when we start to think, we like to compare ourselves with others. Okay, I'm not like so and so. I'm not as bad as so and so. But it's very important for us when we actually compare our conduct, our life, we compare against God's standards. And that is what He actually wants us to do. So you also know that in the Bible, it uses many examples of these people who have bore other people's burdens, especially in the early church. I mentioned to you in the early church, they faced a lot of struggles, there was a lot of persecution, okay, there was a lot of difficulties that they faced. So in the book of Acts especially, you find many accounts of this. For example, in Acts chapter 2, it tells that during the time of the early church, there were many poor believers. Okay? Some had actually lost their jobs because of the faith. Okay? They had no source of income. So you find that the other believers walk together, they pool their possessions, and then they share it with these poorer believers. And this is one way in order to bear their burdens. Then you also have another example in Acts chapter 11, where there was this prophet Agabus, and he predicted that there will be a famine in Jerusalem. And when the believers in Antioch heard this, they gathered themselves, and then they collected a sum of money, and then they gave it to Paul and to Barnabas to bring it to the elders in Jerusalem. And this also that they can actually help bear the burden of the believers in Jerusalem. So one way to bear one another's burdens is by material support. And even in our church, we actually do this. In our church, we have a benevolent fund, which is overseen by the elders of the church and to help people who are actually in need. Another way we can actually bear one another's burdens also is by way of prayer. Pray for the person. And in Acts chapter 12, we find also an account where there was this king, King Herod. He had put James, the brother of John, to death. Then after that, he threw Peter into prison. And when the believers in Jerusalem heard this, they gathered together and then prayed. They prayed unceasingly. The outcome of that was an angel freed the apostle Peter from prison. So prayer is also another way where we can actually help bear one another's burdens. So how do you, as a team, bear other people's burdens? If you were to make effort, you will be able to find that there are actually people around who need your help to bear their burdens. You can bear their burdens by praying for them. You can bear their burdens by encouraging them. If you see a brother in distress, maybe trouble over certain things, could be many reasons. Sometimes it could be he finds difficulties in his studies, or maybe one of his family members has gone home to be with the Lord. This is one way you can actually help him. And I also noticed that some of you do accompany your parents going to visit wakes, funeral wakes, and also homegoings. And this is also one way to bear other burdens. You may not know very well the family of the deceased, but being your very presence, being there also is an encouragement to them. And that is one way where you can bear their burdens. And sometimes also when you are in church in the service, you also hear announcements about certain mission stations, they need funds for their certain projects. And if you are minded to give, you can also give in kind. And this is a way also to help them bear their burdens. So here, there are many ways where we can actually bear one another's burdens. But one thing we also need to take note is, to consider is, what are the hindrances, what hinders us from bearing other people's burdens? And very often it is because we are too caught up with our own lives. We are too focused with our own concerns and needs, so much so that we don't spare a thought for others. But the Bible tells us that we have to care for each other, we have to love each other. And that is why all of us actually are called upon to be our brother's keepers. We have to take interest in other people's lives. And for yourself, in teens, for example, if you do see a fellow teen, he attend teens activities for some time, then after some time, he becomes missing. Do you just ignore that and then just go on? Or if you know the person, you have contact with the person, will you actually make effort to contact him, find out exactly what is wrong, and also invite him to come back to join in your team's activities? And sometimes you may also see a fellow brother sinning, a fellow sister in sin. So what are you going to do? Are you going to confront him, or are you going to not confront him? Sometimes you have this fear, right? Because you feel, especially if it's your friend, it is very awkward for you to approach him and tell him about his sin. You also fear that what happens if he rejects what I'm going to say? Will it affect my relationship with him? We won't be friends any longer. But the command of the Lord is that if we love the person, you know, if we care for his spiritual well-being, then we must still speak to the person and confront him. But you must always remember, speak in a manner that is humble, that is gentle to the person, and get him to turn back to the Lord. So, through this series of messages, as we come to the end of the camp today, I trust that and pray that you actually learn much from this relating to others, how to relate to others. Remember that relating to others actually is about loving your neighbor as yourself. And before you can love others, you love your neighbors, you need to love God. Remember the vertical relationship that you have to establish and the horizontal relationship. Vertical relationship, you love God. Horizontal relationship, you love others. And before you actually begin all this, to love God and to love others, you need to establish this vertical relationship. And that is by having a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior. So I do not know if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray that in this series of time messages, if you have not, that the Holy Spirit will really convict your heart to turn in one day to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you also learn about the one another messages, and you see how it's connected with love, others, loving your neighbor as yourself. So I hope that this will help you build this understanding, and you will continue your study on this one another verses on your own, that you will be able to love others the same way as the Lord loved us with agape love. So with this, let us turn to the Lord and pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for thy goodness, thy grace, and mercies towards us, in saving us, in giving us a hope and a future. We thank thee indeed for this series of messages on relating to others. Truly, it is thy command for us to relate to others in a manner that is according to what you say in your word. Help us even to love one another with agape love. Help us to care for each other and not just be our own selfish self, but also help us to always love. For this series of messages, we thank thee for this time that we can spend together to learn thy word. We give thee praise and thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.